I'm Jim Richards, and I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. You know, it's everybody feels like they have some unique problem, some situation, maybe they just keep going through over and over again, and they kind of refer to it as their thorn in the flesh. Well, you know what? The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and today I want to talk to you about how to deal with the thorn that's in your flesh, how to deal with the particular problem that you tend to face over and over again by the grace of God, not just by your willpower, not just because you're going to grit your teeth and try harder, because trying harder is not really the solution. Most of the time when people try harder, they just try harder at the same thing that hasn't been working, and you just get more and more frustrated. So listen, be sure and get this message out to everybody you know. Send a Facebook link to all of your friends. Send an email link. I'll tell you what, we want to help as many people as we possibly can get past the problems that have plagued them their whole life and get on with enjoying life and serving God. You know, most people spend their entire life struggling with the same issues. Even after people get saved, they usually struggle with the same issues that they had before they got saved, even if they don't give in to them. I want to tell you something. You can break the cycle of this endless battle. You can put an end to this. You can bury this. You can leave this behind, but you can't do it the way you've been trying. I want you to pick up my book in my series, Grace, the Power of Change. It's going to give you some tools so that you can once and for all, by the grace of God, leave the past behind you and get on with a great new life. You know, I know you've probably heard this, but I'm going to say it again. One of the definitions of insanity is to keep trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, there's a thing that happens. It happens in the business world. It happens in the educational world. It happens in the medical field. And it happens in the church world. And that is sometimes leaders, doctors, educators, businessmen, sometimes they impose what they think should work onto the people around them. And when it doesn't work, they basically blame the people and said there's something wrong with you and you just need to try harder. And you know something? I know Christians that have been trying harder at the same old stuff that has never worked for anybody their whole lives, and every time they go get counseling, they get the same advice. Every time they hear a sermon, they get the same solution, and they beat themselves up and just think, you know what, this should be working. My pastor said this would work. My doctor said this would work. My boss said this would work. My mama said this would work. But you know what? If it's not working, it's time for you to get the wisdom of God. It's time for you to get something tailor-made for you. And I want to tell you something. God can lead you in a path that will take you to the solution that you need. He can help you deal with the thorn in your flesh. But I'm going to tell you what. You can't do it the way you've been doing it. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about a thorn that he had in flesh. And man, I'm telling you, I've heard every kind of crazy religious definition of what his thorn in the flesh was. You know, some people say that his thorn in the flesh was a sickness or a disease. There is absolutely no biblical proof that he had a sickness or an eye disease. There's people that say it was an eye disease. There's absolutely no record of that at all. And in fact, when people translate this passage of Scripture as being a sickness or a disease, it shows that, number one, they're not interpreting the Bible with the Bible, and number two, they obviously do not understand anything about how the grace of God works in your life. Remember, grace is not mercy. Grace is not unmerited favor. Grace is God's power, God's strength, God's ability, God's capacity that comes by unmerited favor, that works in our heart and works through our heart. Grace is what works in us to make us able to be just like Jesus was when he walked planet Earth. You know, I didn't mention this in last week's program talking about, you know, finding your destiny. But, you know, even the word gifts, when it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in the Greek, the root word of gifts is charis. That's where you get the word charismatic. That's the word grace. Really, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're not packages that God gives us or toys that God gives us to play with. It's God's ability coming through us. It's God's power coming through us. It is a work of grace. I'll tell you something. Everything God wants to do in us, and we said this from the very beginning, is a work of grace that we lay hold to by faith. Not faith in grace, but faith in the finished work of Jesus. Faith in the fact that we are who God says we are. We have what God says we have, and we can do what God says we can do because we are in Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about this, and he says, He says in 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm kind of picking it maybe at an awkward place, but he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Some people say they have a thorn in the flesh that God's given them. I want to say, so you're telling me that you've got revelations that are so powerful and so incredible, and you're touching the world so much that God had to give you a thorn in the flesh? I don't think so. Let's look some more at really what this says. He says, and concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to tell you something. I've heard sermons and songs written about this passage of Scripture, when God says no. God never says no to any of His promises. I want you to realize that. There's not a promise that God has ever made to anybody that when you have that need in your life, that God's answer is no. So when we're not taking hold of that promise and bringing it to our life, it's about the beliefs of our heart. It's about what we believe about the finished work of Jesus. It's what we believe about us being in Him and being able to take hold of this. Let me tell you something. Paul's thorn, if you interpret it from a biblical point of view, you go to the Old Testament, and thorns in the flesh or thorns in your side always referred to people. God told the children of Israel, He said, if you don't drive the inhabitants of the land out when you go in, they will always be thorns in your side. I want to tell you something. To this very day, the conflict in the Middle East revolves around the fact that the children of Israel did not drive out the inhabitants of the land totally and completely and inhabit the land and fill it with the knowledge of God. And thorns, the thorns that are in their flesh today are people. It's not God doing this to them. And as far as the devil being involved, anything the devil's going to do to you, he's going to do to you through people. He's not going to do it just mystically and magically through there. He is going to do it through people. And I want to tell you something. There's a great probability that when Paul talks about his thorn, very probably he was talking about people. You know, stop and think about it. Number one, there were the Jewish people, the legalist, that followed Paul from city to city, and in every one of these cities, they stirred up trouble for him. They created persecution for him. They caused him ultimately to be imprisoned. They caused him to be stoned. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. Paul went through all kinds of difficulties because of the people that opposed his message. So God never said no, but the truth is, the thorn that was in Paul's life, and Paul really even describes it when he talks about, in these weaknesses where there's persecutions, where there's rejection, where there's distress, where there's infirmities, where there's reproaches, where there's needs. This is what he is referring to as being a thorn or being a limiting factor in our life. Remember the Greek word. There's 9 Greek words for sin, and the most common is the Greek word harmartia, and that word has to do with anytime you miss the mark of the prize or the goal that God has for you. And it's not about what you do wrong. It's about what you're missing out on. It's about the fact that you are experiencing life in any shape, form, or fashion less than what Jesus has died to bring about in your life. So Paul is talking about experiencing life less than Jesus wanted him to have it, and he refers to this as a thorn. Now, here's something we need to realize about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had an issue. He had a belief, and it was his own issue that caused him to constantly disobey God and constantly find himself being persecuted by the very people that ended up bringing about his imprisonment. And we don't have time to go into that. If you want to find out more about that, then you need to get a hold of my series, Men of Like Passion. You know, why God uses people like me, I think is the name I called it. I tell you, Paul had some limiting beliefs. There were some places he limited God in his life, and that becomes his thorn. And I got news for you. Where you have limiting beliefs is where you end up with a thorn, something that over and over and over and over becomes a struggle for you. Now, when Paul describes this situation where he was seeking God to remove this thorn, The Bible tells us that God spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient." Paul goes back to him and says, "Remove this thorn." God says, "My grace is sufficient." Three times Paul goes to God and says, "Remove the thorn." Three times God says, "My grace is sufficient." You see, we take that to say that God is saying, "No, I want you to suffer." That's not what God's saying. God is saying to Paul, in this situation, "My grace is sufficient for what you need in this situation. My ability, my strength, and my power." You know, so many times we want to get delivered from a situation. We want to move the mountain out there. That's our conflict. When God really wants us to move the mountain in here that has to do with our belief, our attitude, our response, our struggle, or whatever. And Paul was praying like many of us do. He was praying in a way that he was trying to control the process. He was trying to define to God what God needed for him to do so that he would be able to go about his way in the ministry. Well, ultimately, you know, Paul did take the gospel to Rome. He took the gospel around the world, even though he was in prison, and God used him, and he touched lives in an incredible way and wrote some of the most powerful epistles that are now part of the New Testament while he was in that situation. God did not put him in that situation. Paul got into that situation by his own limiting belief. He wanted to preach the gospel to the Jews, and God had told him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And because he always went to the Jews over and over and over again, then they rose up against him, they fought against him, and ultimately he had gone to Jerusalem and he was in the temple because he thought he could go straighten out the Jews and get them on track. And an angel appeared to him and said, "Get out of here quick. The people that seek your life are upon you. You got to go." And Paul literally begins to argue with this angel. And while he's arguing with him, then they come upon him and arrest him. If he had been obedient to God, if he hadn't had this situation where he was exalting his desire, his intention, his plan above God's plan, then the real truth is Paul would have never been arrested. He would have never been in this situation. God did not put Paul in this situation, and God did not put you in your situation or me in my situation. It's my limiting beliefs and about me in Christ. It's my limiting beliefs about what I believe God can do in my life. It's my limiting beliefs in some shape, form, or fashion. That doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't mean I'm not a person of faith. It just means in some area of my life, I'm struggling. You see, God wants us to live in the kingdom of God. You know, there are passages of Scripture that talk about if a person does thus and so, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so we take that to say, if they do that, then they obviously can't be saved. No. Living in the kingdom of God has nothing to do with whether or not your sins have been forgiven. It has to do with whether or not you're living in this realm where Jesus is Lord, and you're allowing him to direct your life, and you are experiencing the benefits or the provisions of kingdom living. See, there's things you can't do and follow Jesus. It doesn't mean you're not saved anymore. It just means Jesus has taken this path. You're taking this path. You're probably going to fall upon hard times. You're probably going to fall into situations that you didn't plan for. And what you're going to probably do is you're going to call out to Jesus on that path over there and ask him to come over here and deliver you. You don't need to be delivered so you can stay on a path that's taken you away from God's plan for your life. You need to get on a new path. And you know what that means? It doesn't matter what you have to give up. It doesn't matter what you have to change. It doesn't matter what you have to repent of. It doesn't matter what you got to work out on your life. You know, I tell people all the time, I always win. Always. Every situation. Always. I always win. But you have to realize, so many times winning means I have to admit that I'm wrong. So many times winning means I've got to accept my responsibility for the mess. So many times winning means I'm the one that's got to go apologize. But I still always win. But I don't win because God blesses me in my foolishness. I win because I listen to God and I come out of my foolishness. Now, sometimes I'm slower than other times about listening, but you know what I'm talking about. You see, God wants you to inherit or to receive the kingdom. And I tell you what I've seen. I have seen that the number one reason sincere people do not really live their dreams, they don't see happen what the promises of God say should happen in their lives, It's not because they don't have enough faith. It's not because they're not good people. It's not because God has withdrawn his blessings. It's because they're trying to control the process. You know, I have a series called What to Do When Nothing Seems to Work. And it goes through all kinds of exercises that you can do to really break these destructive patterns that keep you trying to control everything, trying to control your life, trying to control God, trying to control the process. You see, most people will live in stress instead of rest because they're laboring to control the process rather than laboring to enter into rest. See, I can only enter into rest when I trust God. Book of Hebrews, where it talks about entering into rest, it's talking about faith. It's talking about, it's describing the children of Israel, how they went into the promised land, and it was an issue of faith, but really they never really fully trusted God, and so they never really found the rest that they were looking for. Rest is when you trust God. You'll follow him. You'll go where he goes. You don't question him because you trust him. You believe he's a good God and he's only good. He wants the best for your life. And you believe there's nothing you could give up that could ever make your life less fulfilled. There's nothing that you'd have to let go of that would ever cause you to feel lack because you know God loves you. And you know that following him, even if it means leaving something that seems precious behind you, you know that where you're going to end up is better. But see, the problem is we try to lead the Holy Spirit. We decide what would really, really, really work best for our lives, and then we ask God to give it to us, or we get into those situations and ask God to bless them. Now, God's not going to take those things away from us, but so many times the things that we think will make us happiest are the things that really torment us, the things that absolutely mess up our life. Now, you know, Jesus said something, and the book of John, 15th chapter, Jesus talks about how that God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to have fruit. He wants our fruit to remain in our life, and he's going to nurture us and strengthen us. And he gives us the secret to bearing fruit. And he says, well, you got to abide in me. My word's got to abide in you, and you got to be a disciple. And he says, if you meet those three qualifications, he said, you're going to bear fruit, and that fruit is going to remain. Now, a disciple is not somebody who tells the teacher how it should be done. A disciple is somebody who says, I'm going to live like my teacher lives. I'm going to follow my teacher. I'm going to apply what he speaks to me. I'm going to apply his word. I want to tell you something. We're living in a day when many people who believe in what they think is the grace message have given up the realization that we're supposed to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be following him. And he's supposed to be our master. And he's supposed to be our teacher. And we're supposed to be open to the Holy Spirit so that he can lead us out of Egypt, out of the bondage, out of the repetitive failure in some area of our life. You know, I know people that fail financially over and over and over again. I know people that fail relationally over and over again. And usually when I meet with them and talk with them, it's because they will not let go of their opinion of how it should be done. And they keep doing it their way. Never, ever works. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now, this isn't just talking about sonship in the sense of whether or not you're saved. If you look at this in context, this gets into talking about sonship as it relates to being able to experience the inheritance that we have. Because you go down in verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. And that suffering is putting to death the desires of the flesh. It's not putting to death your dreams. It's not putting to death what you'd like to do with your life. It's putting to death the thinking that gratifying your flesh is going to be the way to get there, that thinking that your own plan is how God wants to bless you. And he says, you know, if we suffer with him, if we die with him right now, die to self, it says we'll be glorified together with him. You see, we are heirs of God. Now, God never made a covenant with you. He made a covenant with Jesus. Because you're in Jesus, because I'm in Jesus, That makes me a joint heir with him, which means I am receiving, I'm participating in everything that he participates in. Now, my faith is in the fact that all God has is mine. My faith is in the fact that all the promises are mine. I'm delivered from all the curses, that I am in Jesus and I share in what he has. That's my communion. That's my fellowship. That's my connection with God. The finished work of Jesus is my connection with God. The death, burial, and the resurrection. And it's there, it's not my faith in grace, but it's my faith in the fact that I am who God says I am, have what God says I have, can do what God says I can do because I am in him, that grace works inside me. You see, in Jesus really is the place of rest. See, the Lord is our shepherd. And you might put it this way, if the Lord is your shepherd, now, what does a shepherd do? The shepherd leads you. Where does he lead you? He leads you to green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He protects you from the wolf. He protects you from the disaster. He takes you away from the place of lack, takes you into the place of abundance, to the place of provision, to the place of resources. But the key factor is, if he's my shepherd, and if I'm a disciple, then I've got to follow him. You see, abiding in Jesus, I am in Jesus. His word abides in me. I believe what his word says about the resurrection, about who I am in him. I'm a disciple. I'm committed to following him. And as I follow him, he leads me into every situation that I need to experience the promise of God. See, somehow we've got this idea that we can just kind of do our own thing and pray God's blessings over here to this desert, to this wilderness that we live in. Why in the world would we want to try to waste our faith doing that? Why not just go over here where Jesus is? Why not just follow him? Why not just put on Christ? You see, when you start trying to control the process, really, you're rejecting the lordship of Jesus. You're rejecting the reign of his lordship, which, see, if you're in the kingdom, there's got to be a king. And if you're a subject of the kingdom who wants to enjoy the provision, the benefits of the kingdom, then you pledge your loyalty, you surrender to the king. That's the picture of lordship. Now, that's not earning something from God. There's going to be people that say, that's works, that's dead works, that's earning. No, that's called relationship. That's called trust. That's called faith. And as I trust him, the grace of God comes to work inside me. So I want you to realize something. The thorn that you're facing, whether it's repeated financial struggles, you know, temptations to particular sin, whatever, very probably you have been trying to control the process. You've probably been trying to find some way to have it both ways. Some way that I can compromise and live in sin, and some way I can get God to bless me. You know what? Well, we all mess up. We all come to our senses and admit, you know what? What I'm doing ain't right. It ain't godly. And we need to own that. And then when we repent, you see, that's where we turn to God and say, you know, God, I know you've got a better way to fulfill my dreams. I know that these desires I have, I don't have to do something crazy and corrupt in here. I am going to follow you. You see, whatever the thorn in your flesh is, the grace of God, God's ability, God's strength is what you need. And God's ability and God's strength working in you causes you to rise above the power of that situation and leave it behind. Listen, be sure and stay with me. I want to share with you something really practical in my mentoring moment so that you can put it into practice. You can experience the grace of God in your situation. You know, Jesus asked this question. He said, are you tired? Are you burnt out? Are you worn out on religion? He says, come to me, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to realize something. When they used the word yoke in Jesus' time, they were talking about his doctrine, his philosophy of ministry. He says, if you buy into what I believe, this is going to be easy and it's going to be light. Grace, the power to change, It's going to give you the resources, the tools, everything you need to know about how to access the grace of God. God's unlimited power that works in you, that establishes you in righteousness. God's unlimited power that works in you to manifest His miracles, His gifts, His healings. Everything that God has is a work of grace and faith. And grace, the power to change, is going to give you everything you need to be able to live the life of your dreams. You know, the Bible tells us that grace is something that works from our heart. That's the reason I created the Heart Physics Program. I realize that most people are trying to connect to God in their brain, not their heart. If you've never done Heart Physics, be sure and go to heartphysics.com and check it out and connect with Christ in your heart. And I'll tell you what, if you have done Heart Physics, you've done Essential Heart Physics, and you want to develop yourself, you want to come to the place where no matter where you are in any situation, you can immediately connect to your heart, therefore connect to the grace of God, then be sure and be at our Advanced Heart Physics Weekend, October the 18th through the 20th, right here in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be for people who want to go beyond what you can get in a program and want to learn how to live out of their heart in a more deliberate way. Listen, you got to give up control of the process. You've got to just surrender your idea of how you think things are going to work out, how you think things are going to get solved. So one of the best ways to do that is to separate the goal from the process. See, so many times we think that we're praying about and we're committing ourselves to a goal when in reality we're committing ourselves to the process. For example, you may want a new house. It's like, okay, God, you find a house. God, I want this house. God, bless me. Give me this house. You know, getting that house is probably not really the goal. It's probably the process. Because the goal is probably that you want a comfortable house, large enough for your family, in a good neighborhood that's affordable. And the real truth is, it doesn't matter if it's that house or not. But you see, you make up your mind that it's that house, and then you're trying to control God rather than trying to follow God. Or maybe you say, Father, I want this job. This is the job I want. Bless me. Give me favor. Give me favor. No, just follow God. You see, because really, it may not be that job that you want. What you really want is a job doing something that you'll enjoy, making a good living, leaving yourself enough time with your family. You see, identify what it is that you really want, but then follow God and let Him take you to the perfect fulfillment of it. Because the moment you come up with your idea of the perfect fulfillment, you're going to start controlling the process. Got to have this car. Got to have this person. Got to have this house. Got to have this job. Got to have this opportunity. So really, now you're saying, this is the process to get me what I really want. Follow God, not your desires. And here's the great thing. You know what? When you're just following God, trusting Him, when you find the perfect situation, you'll know it when you see it, and He will witness in your heart the peace of God.